This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Everyone, welcome to a Tuesday edition of Your Ruffled Feathers, coming to you from the Patio Studios, the original party place for St. Louis Cardinal fans everywhere. Hopefully next year it'll be patios before and after the game again, just like the old days. A couple hundred thousand of our favorite friends at an opening day, which would be nice. But until that time, we deal with what we have. The St. Louis Cardinals are going to deal with what they have as well, as we're going to talk it over today, as a trade deadline has come and gone and the snooze fest is real. The struggle is real. So let's get some opinions on it, as I like to do from my cohort in crime and from guests when we have them from time to time. So welcoming in to Ruffled Feathers, our two birds on the bat show, is my co-host Ron Nuttall. Ron, what's going on?
A lot at work and very little on the baseball front, evidently, except if you're a Padres fan.
What do you mean very little? We won last night. Come on, bud.
No. I'm thrilled as hell over that.
Okay. But, all right. Let's keep our priorities straight. But no, I'm just kidding. And we have a special guest today from 101 ESPN, The Fast Lane. Let's welcome in a very well-known sports commentator here in St. Louis, Anthony Stalter. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, guys. You can you hear me, everyone?
Yeah,
you sound tremendous. Happy to have you on the show. No masks. You don't need a mask.
We're all
quarantined here. It looks like not quarantine, but we're all in isolation at our own little places here. But, and again, have no idea. I guess he's going to get his mask. I don't know where he went. No, I'm just kidding. So, Anthony, welcome to the show today. Obviously, I know, you know, you don't miss an episode of Ruffled Feathers, so you know the concept here. We like to take a look at what's on fans' minds, give them a little bit of a voice here. We will throw our opinion in the mix as well as, ultimately, Ron and I say it all the time, we're just fans. We don't know anything more than anybody else. But the voice – for fans, I think sometimes them having one makes them feel like, you know, that they're there. So for all of us involved here, I would say that voice right now is, you know, a trade deadline that has come and gone with nothing going on. I'll start first and then we'll throw it right around. I'm not surprised. There's nothing about this team that screams to me what I've said for years. And that is a trade deadline will tell you what the front office thinks of your team. If you look at the San Diego Padres, the trade deadline tells you exactly what they think of their team. They got a chance. So they're all in. I haven't thought that the teams that we've had for the last few years have a chance. Therefore, I don't know that I'd do much either. Now, a chance to do what? I'm talking about win a World Series. Now, anybody can win one if you get in, I guess. But I'm just not that big on the roster construction. So it doesn't surprise me we haven't done anything. Do I agree with it? I don't know. I don't know that it really matters what I think. But Anthony, let's go to you on this this topic here and let you get your thoughts in first.
Well, I'm with you. I didn't expect that John Mozeliak was going to make a bunch of moves. He definitely wasn't going to make a bunch of moves after they had their COVID-19 break, as we'll call it. You know, when they didn't play for 2 weeks, I didn't expect that there was going to be some massive push by the front office to acquire a bunch of new players when you're still trying to get a look. And this is coming from the Cardinals viewpoint, not necessarily mine. I'll get to my point in a second, or my opinion in a second. But, you know, from the Cardinals standpoint, they're still trying to look at Tyler O'Neill and Harrison Bader and Lane Thomas, who was activated yesterday. They're trying to get a long look at these guys. And now, of course, Dylan Carlson over the last couple of weeks. So I didn't expect them to add another player and then try to figure out a rotation that was going to satisfy everybody, including their own evaluation needs. From my standpoint, it kind of aligns with yours in that this isn't a team that is going to challenge for a World Series. I think their pitching is very strong. I think their bullpen is one of the best in the National League, but this offense leaves a lot to be desired. Adding Starling Marte would have certainly helped, but are you willing to give up the assets to acquire Marte when he's not going to put you over the top? You know, Mitch Moreland, it would have been nice to have another power bat somewhere in the lineup. The Padres got Mitch Moreland. Are you going to give up assets and have Moreland put you over the top? No. I think there's more of a long-term process here, and fans get frustrated by it. I understand it. I would rather talk about a team that's built like the Dodgers, but the Dodgers started with clearing a bunch of roster space and a bunch of payroll years ago. They were phenomenal when it came to the draft. They're phenomenal when it came to adding guys like Max Muncy and Justin Turner and these guys on smaller deals to get to the point where you can trade for a Mookie Betts. That's a process. And the Cardinals, unfortunately, are just not there. So I think you're going to see another year where they're competing for, you know, if the Cubs slip up a little bit, you're competing for the division. You're certainly got a great shot at winning the wild card because every team makes it, but nobody at the deadline was going to put you over the top. So I didn't really expect the Cardinals were going to do anything.
Ron, your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we had mentioned it on here before that, you know, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that nothing had been done. I've always thought at most what we would probably see is maybe an arm or two in the bullpen, somebody being brought in at most. I just don't, with the exception of a couple bats Anthony just mentioned, I don't know that there's any one move out there that's going to substantially improve the team or what we've seen. Still knowing that nothing was going to happen and actually have nothing happen, I had that tiny hope that, boy, he's gonna shock us. Like maybe like in 2011, where there was that big trade with the Blue Jays, and you know Edwin Jackson got to play for his 30th major league team. That was a cool event there, but you can't expect that every year. It's been a while since we've had a major trade deadline move. Gosh, what was the last big name we brought in here at the deadline? Was it Brandon Moss? I'm trying to recall one after that, and I'm not really recalling one.
Yeah, so, probably. I mean, the Alan Craig trade, I think that was the last big one in 2014. I mean, that really was the last deadline deal that made headlines.
Yeah, and I forgot the guy they had last year. I forgot his name. He played one game and then was DFA'd.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Was it Mika?
I can't remember his name.
They brought in the two relievers last year just as a whatever. But, you know, when you have a team that you want to get a look at, and I thought Anthony brought up a great point. And I think we all do. We're going into this season, I think to a man, we all thought, okay, I want to see what Tyler O'Neill can do. I want to see what Lane Thomas can do. I get all that. Hopefully Dylan Carlson makes the club out of spring training, and then COVID hits. And then now you're in a complete cluster, right? Things are jacked up. You're looking at all this kind of thing. So things haven't went smooth, so to speak, because not only did the season get delayed, then get shortened, then we're out. What was it? I can't even remember. Was it 17 days? We didn't play a game or 14, whatever it was. So this season is not ideal. Now, that being said, I think it's okay for fans to be frustrated going, wait, we're going to go by winning percentage here. We're second in the division, even if the division's not very good. But we have a chance to compete. And I think fans just want to compete. Now, the whole thing for me is, and I've always said this, making a trade just to make a trade always feels shallow at best. I agree with Anthony. Starling Marte would have been a really nice addition to this team because I think he added something that you don't have. You know, I think he added a talent scale that I'm not sure you have. And yeah, I'd like to see Tyler O'Neill. I mean, I'm growing weary of Tyler O'Neill. It's hard to, I'm not sure it's going to happen for him. I hope I'm wrong. I don't know anything about Lane Thomas other than what a bunch of people that I'm sorry, don't know much more than I do want to tell me about him. I don't, people act like media members know all this shit about baseball. They don't, they know what they're told. I mean, let's be frank. It's number one.
Yeah. Well, you so know,
I want to see it. Right. So let's see it, you know, and there are certain things that just don't seem to be changing. Let's start with one that's really beginning to frustrate me. We'll go right back around the table. I'll go first. The one guy that I am completely over is Matt Carpenter. It's over for me. I'm over it. It just clogs the whole thing up. I'm over it. That's my guy. Anthony, how about you?
Well, you know, look, I understand that, especially now too, Jim. I mean, you know, when I look at the situation, and look, we're all ready to write off Harrison Bader two and a half weeks, right? Like, get out, done, fourth outfielder, pinch runner, defensive replacement, Harrison Bader done. So I don't want to go overboard and now say Harrison Bader's going to play every night. But I do find it interesting that Harrison Bader went on a nice little hot streak there for about four games. He suffered a migraine. He was out of the lineup the one night, and then I feel like he's been done. We haven't seen him again. So going back to Matt Carpenter, your point, is Matt Carpenter's bat that good right now to have Tommy Edman playing in the outfields and taking away time from seeing Bader or seeing O'Neill? The answer is no. So why isn't Tommy Edman playing at third base? Matt Carpenter then is relegated to a pinch hit role, and you can get a longer look at a Harrison Bader. Unless he said, I suffer from migraines. I know vision, they impact your vision. So if Harrison Bader can't play every night because of vision problems, hey, it is what it is, right? But the way that the lineup is being constructed right now, I understand why Fowler's in there every single night. I understand that Brad Miller's one of your better hitters now. You have to play him. Dylan Carlson, it's the developmental time. But I don't understand Matt Carpenter needing to be in the lineup every single night and thus taking ABs away from a red-hot Harrison Bader or a Lane Thomas now or a Tyler O'Neill. If you're trying to evaluate these guys, then evaluate them, because that's kind of what you're pitching to the fan base, and this is why the fan base continues to be frustrated. And if O'Neill's not going to make it or Bader's not going to make it, well, then, hell, make a move. See what Texas wants for Joey Gallo, and they're going to bend you over. I mean, Joey Gallo is a middle of the order bat with multiple years of arbitration left on that contract. He's going to cost, and it's not going to be the remains of Brett Cecil and Carlos Martinez, and that's going to get the deal done. It's going to cost you something. But if you need that middle of the order bat, because O'Neill's not going to be, he's not going to make it, or Harrison Bader's not going to make it, or Lane Thomas is fine, then make the move. So I think that all kind of goes into, you know, one big melting pot. But yeah, I'm with you with Matt Carpenter. I'm frustrated as well.
Ronnie.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to, I almost feel forced to pick somebody different. but to me, Jim, it's never just right now. It's literally not just one player. You guys are absolutely spot on Matt Carpenter though. Look, there's nothing more frustrating than seeing an outfielder, young outfielder, get activated. And to your point, Anthony, hearing all winter, we didn't make any substantial moves because we want to know what we have in these guys. And then to not play them, have an infielder in the outfield blocking a young outfielder from playing time. Now, you got a little bit last night because they were out ahead and Fowler got taken out. But yeah, why I'm seeing Tommy Edman in left field right now, I do not know. It's very frustrating. But I was with you, Jim. I wanted to, look, give Tyler O'Neill a shot. Let him lose it. If he's not going to make it out there, then let that happen. Let it play out. But I'm frustrated with watching him take at bats. You know, early in the season when we started the first time, I thought, wow, he's not swinging at some stuff he used to swing at. You know, this is look like a little bit better version of Tyler O'Neill. Well, he's back again, and I mentally I've moved on from him. I mean, I wish the guy the best. I wish it would have worked out, but I'm kind of past that. But Carpenter, O'Neill, at times Colton Wong, although he had really nice at bats last night, but. Yeah, I'm with you guys on Matt Carpenter. I just didn't want to copy your answer. Just let me go first.
Well, you know, Anthony also brought up another name that I want to talk about that, you know, throws the monkey wrench in this, so to speak, that while I understand it, I mean, I'm going to talk about some truths, and that's Brad Miller. And I want to talk about, like, you know, does a leopard really change its spots, you know, and how much should that affect what our ultimate game plan is here? So we're going to talk about that in a minute. Before we do, we're going to ask you guys to remember to check us out at twobirdsandabat.com So we're going to ask you, when you get there, click subscribe to the podcast. It takes about 30 seconds. It's free and it really helps us and means a lot to us. And we know a lot of you guys are out there pushing that. So thank you so much. Our social media sites, pretty simple, at Birds on a Bat Show on Twitter. Follow us there. Two Birds on a Bat on Facebook. Please follow us there as well. Two Birds on a Bat Show on Instagram. And you can find us at lineupmediagroup.fm, home of your radio streaming platform for your mobile device. Now more than ever, some of our partners need your help with all the stuff going on. We say it every show. They could really use your support. Adam's Smokehouse, of course, located on Watson Road, some of the best barbecue in St. Louis. We appreciate those guys and their support, so we're trying to support them. Right now, get that order in a day before. Make sure they got enough barbecue cooked for you. You know what they're dealing with. Sometimes they run out as they have to. So make sure if you want that great barbecue that you get your order in the day before. As I mentioned, located on Watson Road, you won't find better barbecue in St. Louis, maybe barbecue as good. We always say Tony La Russa used to say tied for first. We know that our friends Adam Smokehouse are tied for first for sure. That's Adam Smokehouse, St. Louis. Here's your cue. To my friend, Dr. Kristen Jacobs, learn more about her at drkristenjacobs.com and her Ooh La La Spa and Taijing and Wellness Center. Find out if they're doing something over there right now that you've been wanting to do for yourself. And of course, she reminds you every day is Skin Cancer Awareness Day. That's drkristenjacobs.com. And of course, I appreciate all my friends at Gators Baseball Academy. To learn more about them, GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Now located in Illinois as well as Missouri. The off season's upon us. It's time to get better. You can either get busy staying the same or you can get better. It's that simple. And if you want to find out if there's a team for you over there, you can do that as well. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. Gents, Brad Miller. Okay. I'm happy Brad Miller's doing okay. Nobody's happier than when a guy performs than me. But this guy's a leopard with the same spot. So are we really going to clog this whole thing up over a career 240 hitter, career 317 on base percentage? He's 30 years old. He hasn't all of a sudden become a number four hitter in the league. So that train, like Matt Wieters, okay, he is who he is. Yes, you can have a nice run, but are we really going to clog the thing up over that? That's another one I don't agree with. So I'm not going to clog – he can't – not a great defender at third base for sure. He's not going to supplant Colton Wong or Paul DeJong anytime soon on the middle infield. He's shown us that he can't play third very well. So now the only position really for him to play is DH. And once again, there's an opportunity with at bats where if we're really going to get a look at some guys, what are we doing? So now all of a sudden, if you're going to play Matt Carpenter and Miller, that's contributing to this problem. So once again, we have the DH in the league now, and it affords us an opportunity to see more of the guys that we need to see, because ultimately we got to make a decision here. So to me, that's another problem. Now, I'm not saying it's an awful problem because he's done. I mean, let's face it. He had a week there where basically carried us, right? But is he going to carry us for 2 months? I highly doubt it, Anthony.
Yeah, this is part of the problem, Jim. I mean, you know, it's a shortened season. And if he's going to be, I'll phrase it this way. Brad Miller's one of your best hitters.
Yeah. Right? Unfortunately.
Exactly. That really paints the picture of the offense, right? Like Brad Miller's one of your best hitters. So if they're obviously trying to compete, they're trying to go to the postseason, whether it's 162 games or 62 or 20, the Cardinals, they're trying to compete. So you got one guy that's hitting really well, and that has been Brad Miller. So he needs to be in the lineup. I think the part that you brought up, Jim, that was spot on, and it goes to the bigger question about Matt Carpenter, is how can Brad Miller and Matt Carpenter, a struggling Matt Carpenter, be in the lineup at the same time? And I know that Matt Carpenter hit a grand slam against the Cubs, and you know, he's taken that Saturday when the Cardinals blew that game against the Indians, that 2-1 game. You're not even there without some of the contributions of Matt Carpenter. So it's like this interesting push and pull that you're constantly doing. But ultimately, I come back to, if Matt Carpenter's not raking, and it doesn't have to be 400. Is he finding the gaps consistently? That's the Matt Carpenter that I think the Cardinals need more than anything. If he's finding the gaps consistently, if he's drawing a bunch of walks, he's getting on base, great, no problem. Matt Carpenter, Brad Miller can coexist in the same lineup. If not, then why are they continuing to put together that lineup with those two guys when you're trying to, the theme of the podcast so far, is evaluate all this young talent? You're going to be, my biggest fear, gentlemen, is you're going to be back in the same situation that you were this past offseason. And going into next year, well, what is Tyler O'Neill? What is Harrison Bader? What is Dylan Carlson? Stop. I mean, you got to kind of figure it out at some point, but you're also trying to compete. So one of these things got to go. Either you're sticking with Matt Carpenter and playing the contract, or you're riding Brad Miller until the wheels fall off. And I agree with you too, Jim, in that he's a utility player, right? But he might be hot for 2 months. So if he's hot for 2 months, great. Matt Carpenter's going to have to go back into a pinch hit role.
Ron, can the Cardinals have Miller and Carpenter in a lineup at the same time and achieve what they ultimately want to achieve? Or are we going to get are we going to get the line in the offseason? Well, last year really didn't give us an opportunity to evaluate those guys. We're going to have to do it again this year, and that's why we won't be adding anybody in the offseason.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of, right? And one of the things I was most excited for this year, guys, was, hey, we finally get – look how many outfielders they had to start the year off last year, right? They had a bunch of guys in the minor leagues that we saw a little bit of them up in the big leagues, you know, Rosarena, Adolis Garcia. They had all these guys, all these outfielders. They started moving them out, Jose Martinez. And I thought, okay, they've got it down to like 3 or 4 guys now. They're going to figure this out this year, and then we're going to finally get that question answered, and we can move on from that. And I think my fear is that, well, you know what? We didn't really get a good sample size, and it was such a weird year last year that, you know, you're right. My fear is we go and we hear the same thing this offseason, where we've got this young talent. Now we got to give him a chance to play over a long-term period to see what we have. That's what I'm afraid of. Now, can you have Matt Carpenter and Brad Miller? I'm answering in reverse order, Jim. I'm sorry. Miller and Carpenter in the order at the same time? I'm looking at right now, and I'm seeing a Matt Carpenter that's striking out over 33% of his at-bats. You know, 181 batting average. I don't even want to go through them. You guys know him. A terrible OPS, slugging percentage, on base percentage, all low numbers. Miller or not, I just don't. Right now, unless Matt Carpenter's on a hot streak, which you guys are talking about, I don't have him in the lineup at all right now.
Well, I think the issue becomes too. You're getting from Paul Goldschmidt what you wanted, right? Like, this is the guy that I think we all thought we were getting. You know, and if you're the Cardinals, and I mean, you're a Cardinal fan right now, you're going, okay, this is the Paul Goldschmidt we wanted, but now we're not getting jack shit from Colton Wong again.
Well, and you know, Jim, the scary part is, Jim, Goldschmidt's hot right now. What happens when he starts to come back down a little bit, right? Because his averages are going to tell you he's not going to stay this way the rest of the year. So when he starts cooling down, wow, what the hell is really going to happen to lineup then?
Well, does he? I mean, okay, so what's the main thing that's going on here with him? His on-base percentage is through the roof because they're walking him. Well, I mean, would you pitch to him right now?
No, I think that's the key. Yeah, that's the key. He's getting on base. He's getting on base a lot, and he's not. Last year, all we saw was him extend the zone. He was constantly swinging at pitches outside the strike zone, and that's just not him. So, no, to answer your question, I would not pitch to him. You've got too many outs in the lineup. That's, I think, your point.
Yeah. So, you know, so he could maintain this crazy thing that's going on here. But, you know, in the end, some of the things that we really need, like, you know, and again, you can be a numbers guy or a pure baseball guy, whatever you want to be. But if you want to hang your hat on OBP, they got to be better from a couple guys here. You know, like guys got to get on in front of the guy. You know, if Paul Goldschmidt's going to hit 350, you know, and of course he's got 3 home runs. Like to see a few more home runs out of him, but it is hard when they're pitching around him. You know, will Paul DeJong fix this problem? Well, I think we all sure hope so. You know, if Paul DeJong gets hot behind him or whatever, but ultimately we got to find a way to score some runs. I mean, everybody wants to hang their hats on walks and things like that. And I've said this for years. That's great. But sooner or later, somebody's got to hit.
Yeah.
You know, very rarely are you walking guys in.
Right.
You know, so yes, you can walk in certain, but God darn it, somebody's got to drive these runners in. So we got to score some runs. But we'll see what happens. Like, you know, if we were to go around here, like I don't know about you guys, but, you know, like on the positive end, obviously I brought up Goldschmidt. I think we're all pretty happy, and that's who I think we all thought we were going to get. You know, Paul DeJong's just coming back, obviously. We'll see what happens there. Brad Miller's been, I think, you know, a nice addition. But, you know, after that, I think Dexter Fowler's having a nice season, obviously. Yadier Molina just coming back, but the average is there. I mean, we've seen some things out of him, just like I think what you would expect. But for the most part, man, a couple of these guys, if they truly want to be in this thing, I think they got to get it going. The one guy that we've mentioned a couple of times on here that I think started off a little slow and appears to be turning the corner and bringing it is Tommy Edman. Now, Tommy Edman rolling in this lineup, I think it changes it dramatically because of the athleticism on the bases. Anthony, what kind of role do you think Tommy Edman's going to play in this offense before this thing's all over with?
He kind of fits the typical Cardinal hitter in that he can do a little bit of everything, kind of jack of all trades, master of none. And he's somebody that if he's going to hit in the either, if he's going to lead off, if Colton Wong's got the day off or they want to drop Colton Wong, and he leads off, look, get on base. Same thing if he's going to hit in the two hole. I mean, that's really all you're going to expect of Tommy Edman. I thought you brought up a good point earlier when you were talking about Paul Goldschmidt. Don't talk about Paul Goldschmidt's RBIs, and this isn't directed to you, but right. You know, a lot of people at the end of the year may say, well, Paul Goldschmidt's not an RBI guy. RBIs are a product of guys getting on base in front of them. So if Paul Goldschmidt's got low RBIs hitting third, it's because Colton Wong and Tommy Edman weren't doing their jobs. So that is what I would expect out of Tommy Edman, somebody that can get on base consistently. He's got a little speed at the top of the lineup, and he's got a little bit of a pop as well. But I think the biggest, and I know we're trying to be positive here, but I think the biggest overall issue, if I'm just going to simplify things with the offense, we could talk about, so far we've covered Matt Carpenter, Tommy Edman now, Paul Goldschmidt, Brad Miller. We're going, what are they lacking? They're lacking better hitters. The defense improved under Mike Schilt's because they got better defenders. And sometimes it's as simple as that. You know, Mike Matheny didn't know what he was doing from a defensive standpoint. Okay, well, Mike Schilt got Paul Goldschmidt a Gold Glover at first base. He started playing Colton Wong regularly. He's a Gold Glover. Harrison Bader saw more time in center field when Mike Schilt took over. He's an elite defender. You got better players defensively. So I think when it all boils down, we can talk about all these guys. But look, the bottom line is they need better hitters, or else you're just going to constantly see this circle, this merry-go-round, and the three of us are going to be frustrated, and Cardinals fans are, why aren't they hitting better, this, that, and the other thing? They need more Paul Goldschmidts, quite frankly.
Well, who doesn't need more Paul Goldschmidts?
There you go. Yeah. The Yankees, maybe when they're not hurt, or the Dodgers, but that's the point too, right? You don't know who the Yankees batting coach is. I don't.
I
know who the Dodgers batting coach is, but I know they're most of their lineup because they got good hitters.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we're gonna blame it. That's the world we live in, right? Like, who are we gonna blame today for our problem? You know, I mean,
Jeff
who are we gonna blame today? And you know, I'm gonna look at this thing and I'm gonna say, okay. I'm not going to blame a hitting coach. I'm not going to blame a pitching coach, because sooner or later it's on the guys, you know, and again, this is a tired argument for me. You know, they've went through gurus. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. This guy's got a plan. This guy doesn't have a plan. Well, I'm butt hurt because my coach isn't here. I bottom line is whatever, sooner or later, you've got to start performing, you know, and if you don't, then what? What's next for you if you don't perform? Okay. Well, they're going to find somebody that can, and they will try to do that. But if you keep running the same thing out there, is that insanity? I don't know. So Ron, on that point, as we look at all these different guys, who's the guy that they got to get out of there? I'm putting you on the hot seat.
You're going, I know. I mean, it's, I think there are a couple of them, but if there's one right now that just watching his performance this year and looking at his numbers. And by the way, the Cardinals have a 295. You talked about RBIs earlier and it made me look it up, but the Cardinals have ranked 25th in a lot of categories offensively, but on base percentage is one of them. It's under 300. So who's there for him to drive in? Okay. But back to your question, Jim, like I appreciate everything Matt Carpenter has done for this organization. Right. But Matt Carpenter was at his best when he was a role player. I've never felt, other than the freakish performance he did in the middle of 2018, I've just never seen Matt Carpenter as, oh yeah, he's that 3, 4, or 5 hitter. I think Matt Carpenter was at his best when he was in a role, and his role for the longest time was hitting extra base hits. Anthony, you mentioned it earlier, you know, plugging the gaps, hitting, going in the opposite way. He was at his best doing that. And when the point where we expected him, hey, he's batted so well at leadoff, we're just going to stick him in the three hole now that Matt Holliday's moved on, and we're going to be fine. We've done it from within. We didn't have to spend anything for it. And we expect, you know, we get into this habit of expecting that for every other guys because we don't have the guys we need in the middle of the order. We're trying to make it work. We're trying to see, hey, it's like, you know, throwing, you know what, up against the wall and seeing what will stick. That's what it feels like most of the time. And then when I look up in a lineup and I see, you know, I know, always know the Cardinals are in bad shape when, and I love Yadier Molina as much as anybody, but when he's batting first through fifth, there's something wrong with the lineup, right? And I know we haven't seen him much there this year, but to your point you made earlier about Brad Miller, all of a sudden you look up and this, who's this guy batting fourth? What's that say about the rest of the lineup? And that means there's too many parts here, Jim, for me to point to one guy and go, your fault, I don't want to see you in the lineup anymore. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of them.
Well, let me ask you a question. I'm glad you brought that up. So nobody wants Yadi to bat fifth. Okay. Well, who do you want to bat fifth or sixth, whatever. Mm-hmm. My point on that is this. You want Matt Carpenter batting there? And here's, and again, does Matt Carpenter have some, I guess he does or whatever, but let me tell you something. If you bat in that 3, 4, 5, 6, okay, the theory is, and guys, either any of you two stop me if I'm spewing nonsense. The theory is you bat there because you're supposed to be one of the better hitters because those are the places where you should be batting with runners on base. Is that correct?
Sure.
Can we all agree on that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. So what you got is a guy right now when Carpenter bats fifth or sixth is a guy that's hitting 181 with a 344 on base percentage. Now, so let me ask you a question. If you got a guy on base in scoring position, does walking do a goddamn thing for you? Nothing. No. Nothing. It just puts it on the guy behind you. Now, who's coming up behind you? I don't know. I don't know what the lineup is today. Now, is having two guys on base nicer than having one? Sure. But sooner or later, somebody's got to get a hit and drive that guy in, unless the pitcher's going to walk the next guy and walk the next guy and walk the next guy. How often does that happen? Not very often. It happens, but not very often. So I guess my point is, Yadi's at least hitting 284. You know, he's got less plate appearances than some of these guys. He's got 10 RBIs at least. So at least he's getting hits when guys are on base. Sooner or later, somebody's got to get some hits when guys are on base. That's my only argument, whole thing. And I'm not saying he's the perfect number five hitter. Because we all know that he's going to hit. Is he going to hit in the double place? Yes, he is. He's not going to ever beat out a double play ball. He's just not. Most guys are not, even if they're fast. So my point is, sooner or later, somebody's got to do something. I don't know why Dexter Fowler right now is not hitting in the top of the order. And I'm not the biggest fan.
That's a good question. I mean, I've seen enough
of Colton Wong leading off this year. I'm sorry. I mean, you've given this a pretty good run here. We didn't bat him there for a week, and now we're going to yank him out of there because he's not doing well. Okay? You can't lead off and hit 218 with a 333 OBP. You can't do it and be good. Again, guys, am I wrong? Anthony, can you lead off and hit 218 with a 330 OBP?
I could, yes, because I'm a helpful.
Yeah, but you were a pretty good player.
Honestly, this is part of the merry-go-round that I'm talking about, though. You know, I do agree with Ron's point in that if you have Yadi Molina hitting fifth for you, there's probably an issue. But this is the point, right? And Jim, this goes back to essentially your opinion, which is that, well, he is one of the only guys hitting. So if everybody, the five guys that are hitting or the four guys that are hitting on a semi-consistent basis, we need to jam those guys into the first five or six spots. But the bigger issue is it dates to last year. It's and people give me crap for this because they think I'm talking about launch angle. I'm not. I'm talking about ISO, which is extra base hits and home runs. Talking about power. We're talking about the ability to hang crooked numbers on the board.
Correct.
Jim, you said it a couple of times, and I agree with you. if you're going to try to single team to death or walk teams to death, your margin of error is about this thin. And if you're pitching as well as the Cardinals did a year ago and you're playing defense and the other teams in your division are just kind of tripping over themselves too, yeah, you may win the division. And then you get hot for an inning against the Braves, and then you advance the NLCS, and you got your rear end kicked in because Jose Martinez was the only guy hitting. You need guys that can drive the ball to the gaps, hit the ball out of the yard. That is the overall issue with this Cardinals offense, and it dates back to last year. If I may, for 2 seconds, bring up the football comparison. It's like trying to run the ball constantly and keep time of possession and nibble your way to the end zone. Or you could be the Chiefs and you complete more passes, 20 plus plays or more, and you hang 35 on everybody. You have to have that explosive element, and then you can sprinkle in Tommy Edman and Yachty and Colton Wong. We're trying to make, and this goes back honestly to Randall Grichuk, we're trying to make certain guys 4-hole hitters, 5-hole hitters, leadoff guys, when in any other lineup, they probably wouldn't be in those spots.
Yeah, I think that's I agree with what you said. And it reminds me when you made that football comparison, it's the 2019 Cardinals versus the 2004 Cardinals. You know, just the difference in how they're winning games. Last year was all about run prevention, right? That's how they got it. And you're right, the other teams in the division kind of tripped on each other, and they just didn't play very well last year. So they got in, and whatever happened in the playoffs happened. But they're really exposed in the NLCS though.
And it's 100%. haven't we been saying this for a while? If you look back when Tony La Russa was here. I don't expect you to listen to the show all the time, but I've been saying for a long time, everybody wanted to hang everything on Mike Matheny. Was he a great manager? No, he was not a great manager. Did he make mistakes? He obviously made mistakes. Did he not get credit for some things? Probably. I think all managers get that to some degree. And when a team wins, the manager gets all this credit. When they lose, he's an idiot. Comes with the territory. But the bottom line is Mike Matheny was not the biggest problem with the St. Louis Cardinals. This roster has steadily declined since 2011. Everybody says, well, they gave him, and he even said it too, and I understand he's being a big man here and he's taking the high road. Oh, they gave him a World Series contender, a team that won a World Series. Oh, yeah, but they took away the best player in the league and their best pitcher. Bye-bye, Chris Carpenter, never the same. Bye-bye, Albert Pujols. Oh, here's the same team, though. No, not the case. That's number one. Number two, we know how bullpens change from year to year, so let's chill there. Now, did he have some talented guys? He did, but every year it's been a steady decline. And what we see now more than ever, and you brought it up, Ron, I thought it was a great thing. Go back and look at some of those teams, at the kind of players that were sprinkled into those teams, the Daniel Descalzos, the Ronnie Belliards. I mean, we could go on and on. The Alan Craigs. Now, Alan Craig wound up being a pretty damn good hitter for a couple years, but I think we all know the story there. But you can go back and look at all these guys, John Jay. These are guys that were added to teams that were built.
Yeah.
Ready to go. And then you insert this complementary player. What we've got now is a bunch of complementary players that we're counting on to carry water.
Yes. Right. That's right.
So I don't give a shit if Sparky Anderson, Tug McGraw, like you can bring them all back. Earl Weaver, you can bring them all back. I don't care who's managing this team. It's not going to matter. You're asking guys to be something they're not. You're asking good players to be dudes, and it's just not realistic. It's just not. I don't care who your pitching coach is. I don't care who your batting coach is. Okay? That's not how it works. It's just not. And I think we've got this false sense of, this guy's going to fix this problem with the same guys.
Yeah.
Anthony, can a guy get better, but it's like, this is the definition of insanity to some degree, is it not?
No, absolutely. I mean, we're spending a lot of time. Hey, Tyler O'Neill. Oh, Tyler, we got to see more of Tyler O'Neill. There's a reason why the Mariners traded him to the Cardinals. They saw something that wasn't going to improve. It was probably the on-base. It was probably the high strikeout rate. And they said, maybe we can do something with Marco Gonzalez. And Marco Gonzalez has pitched very well for them. he's an ace, but he's an ace for the Mariners. I mean, Marco's been good. He's a really good kid. We've had him on the show a couple of times. I love Marco Gonzalez. I didn't mind that trade, but you're now to the point where you're trying to get something more out of Tyler O'Neill, or, you know, Lane Thomas was in Toronto's organization. Now you bring him in. Okay, we're gonna turn Lane Thomas into something. You know what you need? You need Dylan Carlson to really work out. You need a lot of these high ceiling, low floor hitters that you just got in the drafts to pan out in a couple of years, and stop with, as to your point, Jim, adding the complimentary players and then saying, well, why aren't we getting more out of this guy? Because he's a complimentary player. And imagine if Yadi Molina was hitting eighth and he was just asked to put the ball in play consistently. Or if Tommy Edman was asked to be the seventh hitter, right? A little bit of speed, keep the line moving. The big boys will take care of everything else. Now, all of a sudden, Tommy Edman looks better. Yadi Molina looks better. As opposed to shifting these guys into roles that they're probably not used to, that they probably shouldn't be in. And it's no knock on any of these guys. Randal Grichuk's having a great year for Toronto. He's hitting second for them. He's not hitting fourth. Seam Biscotti's a really good player. He's hitting sixth for Oakland. You know, Dunk used to call him 2-6 guys. Carlos got a bunch of 2-6 guys. Guys that can hit second, guys that can hit six, no leadoffs, no three, no four, no five. And it's been like this for probably about 5-6 years now, if not longer, to your point, Jim.
Is it the whole trying to put a square peg in a round hole? I think Anthony alluded to it earlier. We've done it with guys that probably would have had more success if we weren't doing it. I mean, listen, I'll start with this guy. I would love Colton Wong to be a leadoff hitter, but aren't we all in agreement that he's probably better served in the bottom of the lineup and just let him do his thing?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I was with you, Jim. I was hoping it would really work out for him up there. Get that speed to the top of the order and a second baseman. That feels like the position that's where it should come from, right? But I don't know who else they're going to put there right now, but I think he's more comfortable at the end of the order, and I'd rather see him there. I just don't know who you're going to put there right now.
Well, I mean, and here's another thing. He's walked 12 times, and he's been on base, and he's got 17 hits, and we've only got 2 stolen bases. Well, like, I liked it last year. Like, listen, I've said this 100 times over. Like, last year, and I hope you guys both will remember the kind of stretch I'm talking about. When they got Tommy Edman in the lineup every day last year, and when Harrison Bader was going well for a little bit and Colton Wong was spreading his wings, we were running.
Yeah.
Where's that at?
You're not playing your identity. Yeah. I mean, I guess the identity that would be best suited for the roster that you have. I don't know.
We got a couple guys with 1 stolen base and another guy with 2. And all the people out there, they go, oh, stolen bases, you shouldn't steal bases. Bullshit. Bullshit, you shouldn't steal bases. Did you watch us last year when we were doing it? We were exciting. We were winning games. We were imposing our will on other people with what it is we do. Because this team right here is not going to hit a shitload of home. We are not the Chicago White Sox. If you want to be the Chicago White Sox and say, we're not going to steal a bunch of bases.
Fine.
But I just, and another thing, let me make this abundantly clear to everybody out there. And this is a fact. Okay. These guys know if they can steal bases or not. They know it. There's a reason these guys carry a stopwatch. Okay, you very rarely steal the base on the catcher. Okay, there's a reason. Well, what happened? We're just choosing not to run. I guess. I don't know.
Getting on base helps too.
Yeah, I was going to say, first step one is to get your ass on base and then you have a chance. But that seems to be part of the problem, Jim.
Well, I it's frustrating for me. Be who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, I know the on base percentages and the averages aren't what we want them to be from a couple of the guys that I'm talking about, but there have been opportunities. Anthony, have you? I've been watching games going, we got to run here. We got to get something going here. And we don't run. And we don't run. We don't run. Listen, if you don't want to bunt, if you don't want to move a runner over, you know, whatever, you can be in that camp if that's what you want to be. Well, then, damn it, then you better figure out another way to create some offense.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I gotta get running here, boys, because I got to do a show. But you know, on that note, Jim, it's that okay? If you don't have a Dodgers lineup or a White Sox lineup or a Yankees lineup or an Astros lineup, whatever that looks like when they're not cheating, then you better manufacture runs, right? And they were at least sound fundamentally a year ago. They lacked in offense. They lacked in scoring runs. They tried to paper cut every team to death, but they pitched well. They played good defense. They had 10 errors last week in 8 games. 10. Only 2 games they didn't have any errors in that 8-game stretch. I know they're playing a lot and all that, but you're not hitting, and you got a bunch of pitchers now on the injured list with Michaelis and Martinez and whoever, and then you're gonna have errors on top of it. You can't do that. So they have to be fundamentally sound. They got to continue to pitch well. And to your point, Jim, if you're not going to hit one out of the yard, then you got to manufacture runs some way.
Listen, man, thanks for joining us. I know you got to go. We'll let you go as we head on over to the Patterson Tire and Service text line. But make sure all of our listeners out there know where they can hear you and where we're going.
Yeah, sure. 101 ESPN every single day. Well, Monday through Friday, 2 to 6. I'm with Brad Thompson, former Cardinals pitcher, who I know you guys had on the program as well. And Chris Ranji. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Stalter, but I appreciate it, you guys having me on. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I love the conversation. And I love hearing from, you know, others that like me. You mentioned that at the start of the show, Jim, just, you know, I'm a fan as well. Any media guy that's like, oh, I'm not a fan, that's crap. You know, I'm a fan as well. And I want to see the Cardinals do well. Because that's because everybody else is happy, you know, and we can have a good conversation. We can watch a bunch of good baseball, which is what everybody wants to do in St. Louis. So hopefully the Cardinals have, you know, figure this thing out, get it rolling a little bit. But I appreciate you guys having me on the show, and best of luck to you guys.
Big fan of yours, man. You do a good job. Good luck to you, and we'll have you on again.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thanks, guys. We'll see you.
All right. That's Anthony Stalter. Again, I would highly encourage everybody. I mean, I think we all find ourselves in our cars or sitting at our desks or whatever. I mean, you guys could do a lot worse than tuning into the Fast Lane and checking out those guys. 101 ESPN, they do a good job. I'm a fan of a lot of their stuff. Obviously, I'm good friends with Jamie Rivers. You know, it's been interesting to listen to Jamie spread his wings and talk about more than hockey. He's a funny guy and does a good job. But I think as a whole, I think their group does a tremendous job. So give them a listen. Ron, we got some stuff here on the Patterson Tire and Service text line, so we're going to head on over there and hit up our friends. Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store, located at 3718 Highway 111 in Granite City, Illinois. Going to ask you guys to make sure to give them an opportunity for your business. I think they've been doing really well there in their community, of course. But if you're just outside or for some reason you've crawled out from under a rock or woken up from a 40-year sleep and haven't been utilizing Patterson Tire and Service, make sure you do. There's great pricing and quantity. They do a ton of work. They do a ton of great service down there. It's a testament to what they do. You guys, give them a call, 618-797-6711. You can find out real quick about some tires, brakes, or just make an appointment to get your car. And that's my friends at Patterson Tire and Service, a whole lot more than a tire store. A little bit on this thread today, the trade deadline thing. You know, we have the hopefuls out there, Ron. So there's a lot of people going, I wanted the Cardinals to make a move, but I understand. I think they're better served to wait until the offseason after they get a look at what they have. So got a lot of those types of questions today on the text line, Ron. I think my issue with this is going to be this. They typically are not the biggest free agent guys, right?
It's true.
Typically.
True.
I mean, what do you have to trade that you would trade? I mean, honestly, what do you think the Cardinals have an abundance of that this offseason they could say, we're going to trade from this strength and build our roster that way? I mean, what do we have?
Well,
we've traded some outfielders in the last couple of years to do whatever. What do we have?
I think the initial thing you look at, and I'm not saying you would, but there's some depth in the pitching, right? Whether it be young arms, some of the ones we've seen this year, you do have some depth if somebody needed some bullpen help, or, you know, perhaps if I'd have to go through the list carefully, but perhaps there's a starter. So I think you've got some depth from pitching. Now, I'm not suggesting that should be done because that's probably the last place you want to go to for acquisition, maybe. But I don't know, Jim. I mean, yeah, there isn't the plethora of outfielders that there was at one point. And what we're getting a look at right now, gosh, are other teams even do other teams have a need, or are they even interested at this point in what we've seen from the young Cardinal outfielders? Because the numbers don't look great.
What's a bullpen arm bring you, though? I mean, what's an arm like that bring you back? Does that bring you again? What we've established today is we need a legit leadoff hitter, and we need a number four or five hitter on this team, one or the other. You going to get that from a relief pitcher?
No, you're going to get another relief pitcher likely for.
You're going to get that from a depth starter?
You have to dip down to the farm system. Who do we have down there that has any promise that can bring in something like that? And I don't know off the top of my head.
You know, prices get set based on moves that are made. It's like buying a house, right? Like, it's like refinancing your house. Then they come along, they look at the houses near you, and they say, "This is what, and based off this, here's how your house is similar. Here's what your house is worth."
Yeah.
Well, we found out what Starling Marte was worth. We found out what some of these guys were worth. You know, there's not a million of these guys out there. So when they're available, you got to go get them. And they cost what they cost.
Right.
You know, there's the law of supply and demand. There's just not a whole bunch of guys out there that hit 300 and have 360, 370 on base percentages and can run a little bit with a little bit of power. I mean, I'm not saying he's a perennial guy like that. He's got his issues, right? He's had his issues, but awful good player to just spit on him.
Yeah. I mean, look what it cost the Cardinals to even get somebody like Goldschmidt. You know, it cost you a high level prospect and Carson Kelly. I mean, maybe that was only high level according to Cardinals fans, but it was a high prospect. You had a starter, and I'm forgetting the third guy, but you know,
Luke Weaver hasn't been very good.
Luke Weaver
hasn't been good this year at all.
But this year is not.
Can't remember the other guy we traded.
Right, but we're talking about the guys. We're talking about those guys when they traded them, not today. But
right,
you know, it costs you a lot. So,
you know, but you got a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this day, like this thinking of we're going to give somebody a bunch of shit and get back this stud. I mean, the trade we made for Goldschmidt, I'd make it again tomorrow.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's a lot of the social media fans think that, like, I love this one. This one was mentioned last week. Why don't they just trade Bader for a better outfielder? I'm like, wow. Okay. So who is going to trade a better outfielder for Bader? That's the question you should be asking. And that's not going to happen. So this is just fans wanting to fix something. And most of us don't think things through when we either type them out or speak them. So,
well, ultimately that's what trade deadlines do. They give people hope for change. Like, how do you change? There's you either get better, get the players get better, which happens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or you go get better players. It's the only two ways.
Right.
So we have eliminated one of those ways because we're not getting any better players. So now our players have to be better. And again, I'm not above this either. Guy walking in the room going, "Hey, you're it, man. Let's go." I say that all the time. Like with our baseball club, people are like, "Well, you know, this team, we're just not going to be very, this second team's not going to be very good." And I'm like, "Why not?" "Well, so-and-so," I go, "You know, I'm going to look at your son and I'm going to say, go be better. Why does it always got to be, I want to play with him, 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 and him." "No. How about you? Be better."
Yeah.
"You guys need to carry the load. Quit standing next to everybody else going, these guys are good." "No, go carry the load. Perform."
Yeah. And I don't have if that's the, well, clearly that's the decision they've made. I think it would have, almost said a C word. I don't know what they were going to be able to do this time. I know there were some nice names that are wearing new jerseys today, but I don't know that any one or two of those moves were going to fix what we see right now. They certainly could have made an impact, but I'm not surprised. Slightly disappointed though, that at least, you know, something, and it's been a couple of years in a row now that the front office hasn't done something around the deadline to improve the team. Even if it's marginal, it just wasn't done. I mean, sometimes we know, Jim, it might not be the biggest name that comes in, but sometimes you can change up your clubhouse chemistry or charge it up a little bit by bringing a new face or two. And it's not always guaranteed to work, but we've seen it happen. And it's been quite a while now since the front office shown willingness to do that. And I mean, I agreed with them up to this point that I was curious too to see how some of these guys were performing. Gosh, we haven't even brought up Luke. I was waiting for one of you guys to bring up Luke Voigt's name earlier in the show, because that's another one there. Cardinal fans are all charged up about him, and I see them throw it out his slash line almost daily on Twitter. Well, excuse me, but Luke Voigt was a what? He was a first baseman. And they traded him for a known first baseman, you know, an all-star in Paul Goldschmidt. There was no DH in the National League at that point. So I get a little tired of seeing the Luke Voigt thing being thrown out there all the time. Were you really telling me at that point in time, then, you favored Luke Voigt, who was in AAA, by the way, over Paul Goldschmidt? Come on.
Well, yeah, that's a real easy one to look at and go, boy, it sure would be nice to have Luke Voigt. And we did have him.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't know. I mean, I think guys go to other situations that are much better for them. I mean,
sure, yeah.
You know, Yankee Stadium is a cracker box, folks. I mean, you listen, number one, your baseball team plays half their games in a very fair ballpark. There's a lot of home runs hit in other ballparks that are not home runs at Busch Stadium.
Right. We saw a couple last night, right? It favored the Cardinals, we saw a couple last night in Cincinnati.
All right. Am I taking anything away from Luke Voigt? Am I taking anything away from Marcell Ozuna? Randall Grichuk, the day Randall Grichuk went to Toronto, I said he will do well in Toronto. There's a lot of guys that will do well in Toronto offensively. But there also is this to be said too. How long can you ride a guy that doesn't get it done for you before you finally move on? And it really doesn't matter what he does after he leaves, because he wasn't doing it here.
Yeah.
And you can make your excuses and blame it on somebody else. But let me tell you something. Every one of these guys got chances. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing that nobody wants to understand is you get chances in this. You've got to perform. This is not the developmental league. It is the major leagues. If you want to develop guys at this level, then quit bitching about winning and losing.
Yeah, agree. I mean, go way back in the past. Another example, Andreas Galarraga spent an entire season here, didn't do very well. Goes to Colorado, and well, maybe it's an effect of Colorado or altitude, but he was pretty damn good when he was a Rocky. So,
I think he did okay here. I think it was before he got here he hadn't done well. This was kind of a latch ditch effort, wasn't it?
I think it was.
Look it up. I think I remember that being that way because I was a big fan of the Big Cat.
I was always a big fan. If I'm not mistaken,
it was before he got here. He had really fallen off. He came here, wasn't great. He hit 243. Maybe you're right.
Well, I mean, and I think was Baylor.
Oh, he broke his hand. He was doing well. He had kind of turned it around. Didn't he break his hand?
Ah, boy, that's a good question. My memory's not that good, but. If I'm not mistaken, was Don Baylor the hitting coach at the time?
Yes, yes.
And then he became the manager out in Colorado, and that's where Galarraga ended up. Yeah,
I think he had only played, he actually had hit 10 home runs for the Cardinals in 92, back when it was a cavern, right?
Right, right.
And I think people were saying, if I'm not mistaken, I think he had, fans, listen, if you know better than I do, but if I'm going, we're going way back here.
19, yeah, we are. Almost 28 years.
But I'm almost sure he started off slow. They changed something. And I mean, he started lighting it up, broke his hand, went to Colorado. And of course he was a monster in Colorado, like a lot of people are. But listen, again, be that as it may, sooner or later, you got to perform. You have to perform sooner or later. And it doesn't matter how good you're supposed to be or not. Sooner or later, man, you got to perform. And all the excuses in the world aren't going to change anything. So, you know, listen, you can say whatever you want. If Matt Carpenter's performing, then he's performing. It doesn't matter if you like him or not. Dexter Fowler, same way. Harrison Bader, same way.
Right.
But let's not get all geeked up about three or four games from Harrison Bader. He hasn't earned that right. You know,
and you're right though. It happened. I mean, it happens out there.
Oh my God!
He's got his pocket of fans, man. And you know, whenever a selfie's taken or something, he wiggles his shoulders before he steps up to the plate. You know, it's just, they're, people are fans of his.
I was glad that some people noticed it. And again, I think I had said that my biggest problem with him was, I was having an issue with him not wanting to make changes in the offseason. Right, I thought it was blatantly obvious he needed to make some changes last year. And not only did he not do it, he came out and said he wasn't going to do it. He said, I know what I'm doing or whatever. I'm not going to. Now it looks like somebody's gotten through to him like, time to make some changes or you're going to find yourself out of this.
Yeah, well, I guess that's a conversation that several guys need at some point in their career, and hopefully he's gotten his. You know, Jim, I know neither of us are sitting here rooting against him.
No.
You know, we stand nothing to gain by doing that. I just, from him and Tyler O'Neill and Matt Carpenter right now, I've seen enough, and I know we don't know enough about Lane Thomas yet, but he's up there now. I'd like to see him in there regularly just to see what he can do, because right now we don't know that. And if he continues to not be in there, we'll be thinking, well, isn't he a guy that was highly touted? Why is he not playing? I'd rather just at this point see him play. I don't think you're going to – what, are we going to be worse off? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, again, what's enough?
Right. Yeah, that's different.
What is enough? Like, how many games in a row – is enough for people to go, okay, he got a fair chance. And now after watching this many games, I think we know who he is. Yeah. What is it? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't either. All I know is, I don't know how many at-bats in total Harrison Bader's had at the major league level, but quite a few. And I think we kind of know who we have there. I don't know why that's still a question.
I don't either. I mean, I don't know. Hey, did you watch a Cardinal game last night?
I did.
What's your thoughts on the bullpen before we go?
Again, I don't know because their pieces are changing every week, right? We have a slightly different set of arms down there, and the bullpen's not something that, I mean, I know last night it was a little rough because they gave up 3 runs in the 9th inning and the game got a little uncomfortable. I don't know, Jim, and just optically to me, I don't have any stats up in front of me. I've closed Chrome out. I'm not even looking at it. But to me, John Gant's a little scary. I almost said Ron Gant again. John Gant's a little bit of a scary arm for me. I don't know. I don't know if it's just when I watch him, but when I see it, it's just his pitch count climbs and he's walking people. So that's the one to me that I've probably, maybe it's just coincidence. Those are just the times I've caught him throwing, but there's a lot of depth and there's a lot of newness out there. So I don't know. It's kind of a tough question to answer. It hasn't been their biggest issue this year. So hasn't been, it's not to the top of my mind.
Yeah. I'd like Jake Wilford. Wilford. I just, you know, I think last night, man, that wasn't a bad pitch. It was high and away. Yeah. You know, you're talking about a guy that can do that. Not very many guys can do that, but that ballpark obviously comes into play as well. But
sure.
I don't know, man, I think they're going to wind up being okay there, but I guess we'll have to see. But listen, great show today. Enjoy doing it with you as always. I think it was awesome having Anthony Stalter in here. Respect his opinion. I think he's earned it a right to his opinion as well. I think he does a great job. But I appreciate you as well. And I appreciate all of our fans and their willingness to participate in the show, as evidenced by all the texts we get on the Patterson Tire and Service text line. So keep those coming. Make sure you guys engage with us on our social media sites. I want to thank you for joining us today. Don't forget about us at twobirdsinthebat.com. We're going to ask you to click subscribe to the podcast at Birds in the Bat Show on Twitter, Two Birds in the Bat on Facebook, and Two Birds in the Bat Show on Instagram. Also check out lineupmediagroup.fm, where you can also find your radio streaming platform for your mobile device. Special thanks as always to Adam Smokehouse, St. Louis, here's your cue. GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, where you can learn more about the Illinois and Missouri locations for baseball today. And of course, my friend, Dr. Kirsten Jacobs with drkirstenjacobs.com, where she reminds you every day it's Skin Cancer Awareness Day. For my friend, Ron Nuttall, and of course, Anthony Stalter joining us this week, we want to thank all of you for joining us. And of course, keep those texts coming on the Patterson Tire and Service text line, where they're a whole lot more than a tire store. For all of us here at Ruffled Feathers and Two Birds in a Bat, let's go Birds!
Let's go Birds!